Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
You have overcome death. And this is what I want to say. Because Jesus overcame death, and because of the cross, because of what he has done, and that you have received him as your Lord and Savior, that means that you're an overcomer. You've overcome death. And we can look at that and say, okay, well, yeah. No. Listen. How much more encouragement or how powerful is that? That you are never going to die. Your tabernacle, your body, listen, your body is going to go in the ground from which it came. But the fact is this, your spirit man, your spirit woman is going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So when you look at yourself, I'm serious, when you look at yourself, no matter what you're going through, no matter how much education you've had, no matter how much money you make, no matter where you live, the color of your skin, it does not matter, because if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart in a genuine, real way, and you're living for him, you now will live for all eternity. And this tabernacle called the body is going back. But there's something miraculous that's going to happen in the future. And that's why God has a solution, and God has something much greater for you and for me. And so no matter what you do, you are a winner. You are a champion. Listen, you're a champion. Because why? Because of a choice that you made to choose Jesus. And sometimes we just downplay that. And it hit me the other day talking to my son. I was talking to him and I was like, man, I've overcome death. In my life, I have overcome death. I am not going to look down about anything, because I am a powerful person in Jesus. I'm weak in me, but I'm powerful in the Lord. And so are you. And you need to know that today, that you are an amazing overcomer because of the choice that you made to choose Jesus into your life. Just that alone should pretty much cause us to do backflips. I mean, really, just that alone, just that information. We try to figure everything out, but the fact to know I'm a champion, I'm a winner, because I have made the choice to choose the great King, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's powerful. In John 14, 19, I love this. It says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. If you look at Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, our tabernacle, our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to do, even to subdue all things to himself. It comes down to a choice for you and me, for everyone in this room, to receive him. 1 Corinthians says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Where is it? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because it's only a shadow. It's not really death. And yes, there's grieving, there's mourning when a loved one goes to be with the Lord. And we need to pray for Stephanie Raymer and their family, because Stephanie's grandmother went to be with the Lord yesterday, I believe. So we need to pray for them. But she knew the Lord. And it's really hard to make that transfer sometimes, that, okay, here we are mourning and grieving, and rightly so, because we miss them, but they are rejoicing in the presence of Jesus continuously. It's almost like if they could up there, they can't. It seems like they should grieve for us. Because here we are. And if we don't have the right perspective in the right choice and understand who we really are and that we have so much to look forward to. So if you don't know the Lord today, or if you need to come back to the Lord today, you need to make that decision. It's a wonderful plan God has. He has a solution, but he has something much greater that's going to happen for all of us to be together with him forever and ever and ever. So if you've chosen Jesus, you're in a good position. God has much more planned for us. I just said that, a solution. We didn't overcome death either just to exist, but to walk in the fullness of joy, to walk in the fullness of his love, to experience the most amazing, glorified, supernatural body in the future. That's what we're going to have. So if you've got some aches and pains right now, don't worry about it. They are going to cease to exist with your new supernatural body in the days ahead. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And then we're going to go from this chapter and these verses all the way back to the Old Testament to Zechariah. And we're going to look at Zechariah 2, and we're going to look at Zechariah 14. So I'm going to read a little bit of scripture, so don't check out. Try to connect all this. Because even what Roy was saying, whatever part of your heart may be grieving, God wants to heal it. He wants to draw you into his presence. He wants you to walk in the fullness of who he's called you to be, and he wants you to acknowledge who you really are in Christ. So you don't hang your head, but you say, yes, I am an amazing, amazing overcomer in Christ. I am an eternal vessel. For all eternity, my spirit will live on. And there is an awesome plan that's going to be played out. And you know what? We're a part of it right now. Right now. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. It says this. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's trying to let people know that when you lose someone, you know, don't be like those who have no hope. Verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, concerning those who have fallen asleep, as he puts it. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe it, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. You need to hold on to that right there. That's a real powerful verse. Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, if we remain in his return, until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who have fallen asleep, as they put it. They will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Now, here's 3 points I want to make. Number one is the title. God has a solution and something greater. Number two is this. We are promised a resurrection. A resurrection. You have a promise of a resurrection. He resurrected so that we would be resurrected. And number three, we have a great reunion that's going to take place with all of us and all of our loved ones. We have a great reunion that's coming. And so it says it right in that verse. It talks about the resurrection. It talks about the solution. It talks about us coming together. And this great reunion. What promises? This is an amazing realization that we need to hold on to and understand. Now remember that scripture, and I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 2 in your Bibles. Kind of want to set this up a little bit. Some of you know this, some of you don't. Just to help you. Zechariah, again, is a prophet, one of the minor prophets, they say, in the Old Testament. But Zechariah, what an amazing guy. he receives 8 visions in one night from God. 8 in one night. And this is probably one of the most prophetic books in the Bible. There's 3 that I can recall. Isaiah, that's huge, probably the biggest in the Old Testament. Zechariah, and then, of course, the book of Revelation. There's others, many. Ezekiel, I think of so many. But I want you to read with me chapter 2. The reason is, it's talking about the comfort for Zion, for Israel, and the comfort for those of that have chosen the Messiah, Jesus. We are to be comforted. When we know the plan, then we can impart that to others. And so we remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, and then we jump to Zechariah chapter 2. I could have chosen many different places in Zechariah. But let me just explain and kind of walk my way through this. It says, then I lifted up my eyes, this is Zechariah in another vision, looked and behold, there was a man with a measuring line in his hand. This measuring line was over Israel. And why was it over Israel? Because the boundaries were going to be extended and put in place because there's going to be a great reunion coming. There's going to be many of us that are going to make a pilgrimage right to Jerusalem. And it's in the Old Testament, and it's in the New Testament. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see how wide it is and how long it is. And then verse 3, it says, and behold, the angel who was speaking with me was going out. He's going to check it out. And another angel was coming out to meet him and said to him, run, speak to the young man. Have you ever seen an angel run? This is a sprinting angel. That's the only place I found it. He's a sprinting angel. Run, go speak to the young man, saying, Jerusalem, this is so important, Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls. No more division, no more boundaries, because of the multitude of men and women and cattle within it. It's going to expand, it's going to extend. Verse 5. For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. I will be the goodness in her midst. Verse 6, hold there. It says, flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord, for I have dispersed you as the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord. Meaning the Lord has sent out his warring angels. And he says, get out of the bad place right now. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go to verse 7. It says, Ho Zion, escape, you who are living with the daughter of Babylon, the Babylonian system, the lustful system, the greedy system. He says, get away from there because things are about ready to happen. There's so much more to this, but I'll just keep going. Verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. This is so powerful because people don't understand that you see all the tension around Jerusalem, but God is saying that Jerusalem is the apple of my eye. It's the apple of my eye. And whoever comes against it, I'm going to deal with them. Now, you and I, whether you believe it or not, I hope you do, we're all spiritual Jews, so to speak. We've been grafted into a family, an eternal family forever and ever. And God has chosen to work his miracles and to make his signs and wonders happen all around Jerusalem. It says that every nation is going to hate them, including America. And you've heard me say it many times, you know, Jerusalem, Israel doesn't need America. America needs Israel. We need to keep blessing them. And there's going to be remnants of people all over the earth that are trusting God and living for him and praying for the peace of Jerusalem, the apple of his eye. Verse 9, for behold, I will wave my hand over them so that they will be plunder for their slaves. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Meaning anybody that has done wrong, anybody that has tortured, anybody that's done evil, they're going to be dealt with. Sing for joy, verse 10 says, and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I'm coming and I will dwell in your midst. I'm coming back and I'm going to dwell with you. I'm going to be in your midst. That's exciting. Many, verse 11, many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day. Many nations will understand and join themselves to the Lord that day. They will become my people. That's talking about all the Gentiles all over the earth that are part of many different nations that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Then I will dwell in your midst. Again, it says it. And you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. This is what I'm talking about, a greater plan that is being moved into place. The Lord will possess Judah as his portion in the Holy Land. And if you check it out, that is the only time Holy Land is used throughout the entire Bible, as Jerusalem and Israel being the Holy Land. And why is it holy? Because Jesus has returned. Jesus is there. And it makes the entire real estate, the whole region, holy because he is holy. I love that. And we'll again choose Jerusalem. Look at the last part of verse 12. And then verse 13. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. That's over the top. Now turn, if you have your Bibles, to Zechariah 14. Are you with me still? Okay, remember, 1 Thessalonians 4, what it said, and then understand, looking at Zechariah, look at this plan. And for those of you that don't understand, and it's okay, because a lot of us are finding out, Jesus is all through the Old Testament. He's everywhere to be found. And the message doesn't just stop. It completes itself in the New Testament. Jesus is all the information you need. And that you guys get to know this. And that you can consider yourself as an overcomer. And you're going to live for all eternity with the great and mighty, awesome King, Jesus. I want all of us to be so excited about our Jesus that we can't keep our mouths shut. It's not about building a bigger church. It's about saving people from the pit of hell because of the joy of the Lord. It's about family members that are perishing before us because we won't open our mouth about the joy that we have and the knowledge that we have and the love that we have toward our Savior Jesus. So break out and begin to start speaking it everywhere you go. Today, ask the Lord, Lord, strengthen me so I can even be more of a witness that nothing has taken precedence over you. And if something has, he will get your attention. Why? Because he loves you. 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 I don't want the lust of the flesh to control my life. The lust of greed. I want to deal with it. I know it's hot in here today, isn't it? Ain't nothing like hell. So it ain't that bad. Nothing like the desert in Jerusalem. It's pretty hot. We're okay. Chapter 14, let's go there. Again, God has a solution. He has something greater. We're going to the end of all these visions and everything spoken. And some of this I won't belabor, but I just want to hit it real hard. Behold, verse 1, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now, did you hear that? Did you read that? God is gathering all the nations. Why? Because of their choice. They chose. And he's gathering them. Why? To fulfill a greater plan so that things can come to conclusion. God has a plan, and we trust in it. And it gets pretty crazy, some of these things that you read, and you're going, what? He says, he even talks about the city will be captured, houses will be plundered, and women ravished, and half of the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. What is it saying? Well, if you look at Syria, what's taken, when anybody takes over a nation, things are ravished. People are killed. I heard yesterday, 93,000 people have been killed in Syria because of what's been going on. 93,000 have been killed in Syria because of war. And so what he's going to do, there's many in Jerusalem, Jews, that want nothing to do with Jesus and curse who he is. And just like it was in the time of Jesus' time and also with Moses, the things that happened. So so many of them, because of their choice, won't be able to enter in to this wonderful, awesome period forever with the Lord. Everything will be better. You bite into an orange in the millennial rain, and it probably will give you nourishment for 2 months, because everything will be restored. He loves the earth that he created, and he wants to bring it back as it was in the Garden of Eden. And he's going to do it. Watch this. Keep watching. Keep listening. It says, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth, verse 3, and fight against those nations. He'll fight against them, as when he fights on the day of battle. And this is the kicker right here. I love verse 4. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. I have a picture of that when I was in the city, and I took a picture of the Mount of Olives and the Eastern Gate. It says, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley. Basically, the Lord is coming back. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. He's going to create an earthquake that's going to split the land, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. Verse 5. You will flee by the valley of my mountains. And he's talking about the remnant that has chosen him. You'll flee. Just like it was in Exodus, splitting the Red Sea. Now he's splitting the earth. And he's standing. And he's saying, okay, I've made a way for those that have trusted in me. You take route right here, right through this valley. And they move out. And they're going, who is this King of glory? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Can you see him? Who's blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Jesus! Blessed, you know, they're just moving through this valley. Because there's been nothing but turmoil around Jerusalem and around Israel. And all of a sudden, the King of glory, what we've all talked about, it finally happens. And he stands there. And those who trusted in him, he allows them to move through the valley and to be in a place of safety. I love that. Verse 5. You will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azazel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before. I think he's talking about the Red Sea, I think. The earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones. Who's the holy ones? It's us. It's all the saints that if we die, or if we go to sleep before he returns, he's coming back with us, all the saints. It's so wild. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. Verse 6, in that day there will be no light. This is where it gets really cool. In that day there will be no light. Nothing. It will go dark, according to Matthew 24 and many other scriptures. Remember, God has a solution, something greater. Verse 7, for it will be a unique day, which is known to the Lord, the Father of glory. Neither day or night, but it will come about that at the evening time, there will be no light. Everything will be darkened. Verse 8, and in that day, listen, look at that. Make sure you write that down. Make sure you know that verse. And in that day, thank you. And in that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem. Living waters will start flowing out of Jerusalem to the earth. Half of them toward the Eastern Sea. And can you imagine when those living waters hit the polluted sea that we've done so much harm to? And life begins to flourish again. It's spoken about that in Ezekiel. Toward the Eastern Sea and the other half toward the Western Sea. It will be in summer as well as in winter. And verse 9. I'm going to end with verse 9. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one, and his name, the only one. What does that mean? That means every false god, every false religion, everything will be done. And he's saying right there, the Lord will be the only one. Finally, only one God, because all the others have been destroyed. And there he is, Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Only one, finally one. And there you have it. Now this is what happens. When it goes dark, I won't go into all that right now, but when it goes dark, the Father of glory flips on the light. And in Isaiah it says that it's even ashamed of its light. Because when the Father of glory flips on the light, finally he says front and center, here's my son. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And the light that reflects from Jesus illuminates the whole earth. And the glory of God illuminates the whole earth. And you say, who is Jesus? He's so many things. He's the illuminator. He illuminates the whole earth from his glory and his goodness. That's why, even at a funeral, no matter where you go or what you do, when you know the word and you just don't have this opinion of what you think, but you know the living word, you get excited because God is in absolute control. He's got a plan. A greater thing is about to happen. And that's how I want to encourage you tonight, today. I want you to stand just for a moment. Holy Spirit, have your way with us right now. Help us to understand that you, Lord, you are the solution. And you have something greater promised. You've also promised every one of us that know you a resurrection with a glorified body. And we all want to be part of a great reunion with you, God. So when we read in the Old Testament and the New, all about your coming, all about who you are, pierce our hearts even today, Lord. Quicken us to make the decision about you, Jesus. Jesus, let's just pray. Just keep praying for a moment. It's really okay if you need to come back to the Lord today and just recommit your life to him. You can do that. If you don't know Jesus, Jesus will reveal himself to you, but you have to step out in faith too and say, yes, Lord, I want to know you. It's a choice. You choose to be part of an eternal life forever and ever with God. Eternally separated. Lord, I pray for every family member that's connected to every person in here that doesn't know you. I ask, Lord, over these summer months that you will create opportunities for us to minister to them, to share our faith with them, and get them to know you, not religion, but you, Jesus. We ask, God, that you would move upon us and help us. Give us the words to speak, to open our mouth. We love you, Jesus. Just going to have this time. If you need to come forward and be prayed for, if you need to receive Jesus, or you just want to come back to him today, or whatever it may be, if you need prayer, just want you to come forward and the pastors will gather around you. We'll gather around you and pray with you, pray for you if you need healing. We want to make sure that every one of you know Jesus in here today. It takes a lot of courage. Jesus is courage. Yes, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Keep praying, guys. Just keep praying. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. If you don't know him today,
come forward. You can receive him. If you're coming back to him today, come forward. Yes, Jesus. Where's your heart? Holy Spirit, just have your way in this place. Give them courage, God, to step out. Let these words from Zechariah run deep. Let our eyes be open like, are you kidding me? This plan is laid out in the Old Testament and the New. What a plan. What a Savior. Jesus. I just want the pastoral teams and anyone in the healing or prophetic, if you feel led, to come and pray for those that have great courage. And Lord, I ask on behalf of those that, even if where they're sitting right now, if they want to receive you, Jesus, into their hearts, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe what you did on the cross for me. And by your blood that you shed for me is the sacrifice that you made that all of us would be able to live, that I would be able to live. So I receive your sacrifice. Forgive me, Jesus. Make me the man of God you want me to be. Or make me the woman, if you're out there praying, that I need to be for God. The mother, the daughter, the sister, the cousin. Lord, I ask for an overcoming right now through this room. Lead us forward, Jesus. Open up your word to us like never before. Especially those that have been in the faith for a long time, Lord. I ask that you just strengthen them right now and stir their hearts. Let your passion return to them, that they are great overcomers and that they have made an amazing decision, that they are champions for you, O Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Have your way with us, Lord. Let your word be like a hammer. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. God has a solution. He has something greater, a promised resurrection, and a great reunion. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stay in this place of prayer. And if you feel you need to come up and pray, and let me just tell you, how can you go wrong with being prayed for more? I mean, it's kind of like, so if you even have a little bit of a need, come and be prayed for. And share when you go out into the marketplace. We say we have a big church now. Bigger than we've ever had, because we have a J.C. Penney's in it and a Bullrick's in it. So you can spread that around a little bit. No, we just want to be salt and light in this region. That's what we want to be. So thank you, guys. Be sensitive to those that are here. And again, some more are coming up to be prayed for, and that's fine. Thank you, Jesus. While people are coming, I just want you to know that we're going to do more and more to be more of a community and a family. We had a great picnic yesterday for the IHOP, International House of Prayer. It was a great time, a lot of fun. And we want more and more of that for you. Working on a youth group and working on several different things to impact your life and to help you in your journey. But don't you hang your head, guys, gals. You're a winner. You're an amazing winner because you've made an amazing choice. And please hold on to that today. You know how sometimes you think, man, I wish I was this. I could have done this. Why aren't I, you know? Look at what you did. You made this the greatest decision ever in your life to receive Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you and go with you and keep you through this day. Keep you out of the heat in a cool place. And share your heart with ever who you come with or go out to meet and invite everybody back that you can. We love you in Jesus' holy name. God bless you. We'll see you Tuesday night as we'll be speaking on a passion to know him. God bless you and go in peace in Jesus' name. And greet somebody on the way out.